Yeah, last week's is going to be it's going to be a collector's item. Anyway, 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com, episode 45. Now, little housekeeping items here. If you collect podcasts, and I don't know if you can officially collect them or not. I mean, if you download them, they go somewhere on your computer, right? Maybe you put them in a file. I mean, in today's binary world of everything virtual, are there such things as limited editions anymore? Are there collector's items? There used to be collector's items of magazines or albums or CDs or whatever, because, or even, you know, chairs, furniture. There were tangible things. So much of today's society, of what we buy and what we have or we collect, all sits in the ether. It's in a cloud somewhere that they tell us. I don't know. So I don't even know. Can you collect podcasts? Well, maybe someday. If someday on PBS, if there continues to be a PBS, there may be an antiques podcast roadshow. And so then if that's the case, 30 years from now, in some studio, or probably on Skype, although in 30 years from then, I mean, Skype won't even be around in 30 years, believe me. We'll be talking through our brains. But if there is some antique podcast roadshow that will be appraising podcasts, make sure you keep the last week's podcast. This is the one, first of all, in terms of just content alone, I mean, you know, this was a winner. I mean, I was talking about mustard, right? So, I mean, that's a keeper right there. Different mustards. Where else are you going to find an entertaining and informative explanation of mustards? Nowhere. That's why you come here every week, or that's why you listen to this podcast. Where else are you going to find that? That's my charm. And I'll make you mustard fans. Hey, I've already made you a Cashmere Woods air freshener fan, if you've listened to this podcast. So I guarantee you, if you listen to my podcast from last week, when I talk about gourmet mustards, I guarantee you within weeks you will have number 78 brand mustard. Guarantee that. But here's the thing. So I inadvertently, the reason why on Antique Podcast Roadshow in 30 years, when they will be appraising podcasts, collector podcasts. Yeah, I had this podcast in my tablet for like 30 years. My uncle gave it to me after he got a new computer. He gave me his old tablet, and we've just had it, and we never really use it. And I went on here, and I was looking at all the podcasts he downloaded like 30 years ago, and I found this one, and they always tell me that this one was worth something. Could you tell me that? And the guy will go, oh, well, this is a beautiful example of a tablet from 2017. These tablets, in fact, I don't know if you know about these, but these were actually handheld devices that people carried around.
Really?
Yes. You mean it wasn't just in their heads? No, they used to have to carry things around. And yes, so anyway, here's the thing. When I started the podcast last week, I said it was podcast number 43. But in fact, it was number 44. So there is an error. And that's what's going to make that podcast, the mustard podcast, as we will now call it. If people know about like collectible albums. In the 60s, the Beatles put out an album that is called the Butcher Cover. Because what was going on with Beatles albums, they were released in England as full albums. But on the American side, initially when they came out, the American side of Capitol Records wanted to capitalize on the Beatles' quick fame. So they would literally take the new Beatles albums and they would create new Beatle albums out of them. They would take some songs off of this and some songs off of that and create a new album and put it out quicker than the Beatles were putting out albums. So a lot of times the original United States version of an album was not the original album that was released in England, which was considered at that time the original running order of the album. There were some songs missing. And so the Beatles got so mad at this, they felt like their stuff was getting butchered. And so on one of their albums, they wore white coats, and there was blood all over them. They had a pig's head and a big machete, and they were sort of making a little statement. Well, Capitol Records was not happy about this. And at the same time, the Beatles were the biggest thing on earth, and my gosh, 50 years later still are. But at that time, it's like, these guys are our biggest moneymakers here, but we can't allow this. So there, a few of these albums were printed, and then they were taken off the market. And so if you have one of these so-called butcher covers of the four Beatles with white butcher coats filled with blood, I think there's some knives, I think there is a pig head on there. That was kind of the message they were sending, that their albums were being butchered, that their music was being butchered. And they were quickly, and so what happened was they couldn't re-release the album or take them all back because they already sent to the stores. So they, whatever was in the store was in there, and then they put a sticker over the album cover of a different cover. And I think that was the album that wound up being Here, There, and Everywhere. And then, of course, the picture is just of the four Beatles looking very benign. So the key is, if you have one of those originals, that's worth a lot. If you have one that even has the sticker on it over the butcher cover, that's worth something too. And now, joining the ranks of the Beatles butcher cover is the Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic Mustard Podcast, which is misidentified as 44. Or as 43. So in effect, there has never or never will be a 44. Because today is 45. I am not announcing. I'm not going to keep making a mistake now. So today is episode 45. So I will never have said that this is episode 44. So once again, if you have the Mustard Podcast, put that in a file. Keep it there. Make sure you don't delete it. If you have to get rid of your computer, make sure you transfer it to the next one, because someday your grandkids are going to go on Old Antique Podcast Roadshow, and they're going to make a ton of money because you had the foresight to think about that. So the Mustard Podcast was misidentified as 43. Keep it, save it, and then ultimately be rewarded for it many years from now. And if you believe that. So, if you listen to this show, I always try to keep you up to date. And as goofy and as silly as sometimes the podcast is, there's some times where I actually talk about some serious stuff. Now, I may discuss it in an engaging and entertaining manner, but I'm serious about a few things in life. So if you've listened with any kind of regularity, About a month or so ago, I talked about a story about the new license plates here in Illinois that were going to be starting to show up. At the time, they hadn't showed up yet. So I think it was in early January when I talked about this. There was a story in the Chicago Tribune by the architectural critic, Blair Kamen, and he was talking about the new design. And so he didn't like it, and I read the article, and I didn't like it either, because it just seemed to me that it was jamming so much in on this license plate. They're trying to get Abe Lincoln in. They were trying to get the state capitol in there. They're trying to get the Chicago skyline. They're trying to get a barn. Everything that was Illinois, they tried to jam in on this thing. And so it looked cliched, and that's the way I kind of cliched and cluttered. Every bad, I could see that they were sitting in a room with a big whiteboard, and they said, okay, so what do you think of when you think of Illinois? And so, Ethan raised his hand and said, I think of Abe Lincoln. Good, Ethan. Very good. And then Martha said, well, I think of Springfield. Oh, we'll have to have the Capitol. And so they just, you know, they threw it all on this one thing. So, and then they took the land of Lincoln. They changed the font. They made this really big font of Illinois at the top, and they put this white silhouette of, as I said before, a skyline and a barn and a state capitol. And then they even put, and then to put Lincoln in, they put half of his head in. Half. I mean, the poor guy got shot in the head. You can't put a full face of the poor guy? He's already suffered. If you know, if you remember our, I still have an older license plate, a nice little, the $5 bill Lincoln face that's kind of back in, you know, behind your numbers. This Lincoln thing, it's half of him. It was just awful. So I went off on a, you know, on a little rant on how it was probably, you know, put together. And it wasn't put together by a design firm, which makes sense from an Illinois standpoint, which is why this happened. Because I'm sure a design firm would have said, well, wait a minute, guys, we can't put all this together. But when bureaucrats get together, I want to make sure downstate is represented. Well, yes, but we also have to make sure that the Chicago is represented. Well, we also have to, you know, we have to, we're still the land of Lincoln. So, you know, everybody gets their share, and it winds up being this cluttered mess instead of a nice design. In fact, I was just in Colorado last week, and Colorado has one of the simplest and coolest license plates. Just has these little peaks of mountains toward the top. Just enough to show it's a mountainous, that's a Rocky Mountain state, and yet it doesn't have to hit you over the head like ours. Ours is the kitchen sink and everything else in it. Well, then, one day I was driving down to record the podcast 2 or 3 weeks later, and I look in front of me because I have vanity plates, and that's why I care about license plates. I have vanity plates. I'm always reading the plates in front of me or out on the road, and I look at this plate in front of me, and I don't recognize the design. And then I go, well, oh, wait a minute. That's the new one. And I look, and clearly, once again, whoever designed this thing in the Illinois bureaucracy, now I can figure out why we still don't have a budget. Whoever designed this thing on a computer, I'm sure it looked really good. And I mentioned this on the show. I'm sure it was on a nice big, you know, 20-inch computer screen. Well, look at how good it looks. And okay, everything looks great. You have to remember the practical use of a license plate on a car. And when I saw this, I had to laugh at more ineptitude of state government here in Illinois. Most cars, many cars at least, have a dealer plate or a license plate cover over their plate. The car in front of me did. With the license plate, the dealer license cover over the plate, you could not see Illinois, the word Illinois. You could not see on the bottom the word Land of Lincoln. You could not see Abe Lincoln. Now all you had was a sideburn. Didn't even, and an ear maybe, not even half a head. Because the license plate cover covered all that up. So now what was a bad design to begin with, in practicality and in use, was even worse. Now it was just this big blue swash of color with red letters, with this license plate cover over it. And I'm sitting there going, wow. So I made a big deal about that 2 weeks later. And this is what I'm saying. This is why you listen to this podcast. Not just because, as I say, some days these will become collector's items, but you want to be ahead of the game. I talked about this in probably mid-January, and here it is March 17th in the Chicago Tribune, and Blair Kamen does a follow-up 2 months after my podcast and says, on further review, Illinois new plates even worse. And he ticks off every little bit that I said about why this design is bad. So, I don't know if maybe Blair is a big fan of the podcast. It's out there. Anybody can download it. Perhaps at the same time, maybe he didn't. Maybe we just share the same kind of artistic view. Now I must begin to think, should I become an architectural critic? Because clearly I have the same eye as Blair Kamen, who is one of the country's, you know, most respected architectural critics. Well, I don't know. I saw this before Blair, 2 months before. So either he's copying, or he and I share the same aesthetic. So now I have to rethink my career, which I should be doing anyway. But, so once again, what I try to do here on the podcast, and take a look, if you can find this from the Tribune on March 17th of this year, it will show you. And this is the great part of this is the photo that accompanies this story by Blair Kamen shows the license plate in a dealer thing, just like I talked about. So, you know, I read Blair Kamen quite a bit. I respect him, but I hope, you know, I just hope that he wasn't, you know, copying. I mean, Blair. And welcome back to Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. I've got producer Kevin Richter with me here today. Kevin, do we have the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme?
Yeah.
Can you play that right now?
Absolutely.
And just let it, sadly, I need to let this play for quite a long time. Many times, and this goes back many years if you listened to me in a previous life on the radio, I would tell these stories, and a lot of times what would happen to me sounds like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David. I watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, and thankfully it's coming back. I heard there's going to be another season, which I'm excited about. But I watched Curb Your Enthusiasm not even as a comedy, but as a documentary on my own life. Because I watched it and go, Larry's right! He's totally right. I am. I mean, you know, there's a curmudgeon side to me, and there is certainly a right and a wrong way. And Larry has his rules, and so do I. And somehow Larry gets into ridiculous situations, and so do I too. And believe me, I'm not doing this on purpose. And this one, I when this happened, I said, well, at least I know what I'm talking about on my podcast this week. So, my wife and I lease two separate cars from Honda, right? I have two Hondas. So, I don't know if most cars have this now. I mean, I've only had Honda for many years. As your oil life goes down, it shows when you need to go and get a license or another thing, you know. Before, it used to always be 3,000 miles, which was a total ripoff. That was just Jiffy Lube, you know, trying to say, come in here every 3 months. I don't think that, because my car can go for 5,000. I think the 3,000 miles was a way to say,
that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't think the 3,000 miles was legit. I just think they're like, I think they threw that out there and people go, okay, 3,000 miles. Yeah, okay. Well, and what is it a mechanic going to complain about that if Jiffy Lube says that? If you don't go to Jiffy Lube, you're going to go to him. So who's going to complain about this? Right? I just think they looked at the calendar and said, if we can get people coming in here 4 times a year, for one of these oil changes, that's not bad. How many cars are there? We'll make a mint. And they did. But I don't think you need one every 5,000 miles. Case in point, my wife doesn't drive all that much. She doesn't have to drive too far from work, and my car is like the main car we use if we go out together. Our car, we bought the cars in the same day. We leased them the same day. It's going to be a year. This is her first oil change. She's got 4,000 miles.
Wow.
It's her first oil change in a year.
Wow.
4,000 miles. So she was taking off, or she's going to work from home on Monday. And she said, you know, my oil change light went on, so we need to take it. And we have a thing where we can get the oil change for free as part of the car. We bought the little package, you know. So it's not that close, the place where we've got the car. It's not really close to home, but I've been going there for several years, and I always feel like I get a good deal. So we go back. So it's probably about a 40-minute ride. It used to be closer when we lived in the suburbs, but now we live closer to the city. So it's not really close, but I felt a loyalty. I'm a loyal guy. If you do right by me, I will stay with you for a long time. And that's all the you know, I've got people that fix stuff at my house, or like I said, cars, or like I said, handymen, or different stores for different things. If I like my favorite restaurants, if I like something, I stay with it. I've been married for 26 years, right? I found something and I liked it, and I'm staying with it. I didn't mean to lump my wife in with a car or a restaurant.
She'll understand.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, believe me, she more than enough knows. But anyway, so very loyal. So I still drive out there, you know, whenever we need the grease and oil change, you know. So she says, well, I'm going to be working from home on Monday. So I said, well, good. And I'll take the car in for you. This way, that you know, won't have to worry about it. Okay, great. So I had to make sure that I had the card that shows that we have the free oil change, because sometimes it's not in the system. Because when you go to a dealer for an oil change, it's like expensive. So that's why we did this. Oil changes have gone up. Everybody now uses this synthetic oil. I don't know where this came from. I went to Jiffy Lube one time with my previous car. Guy says $89.99. $89?
Jeez.
He goes, well, you know, you have to take, you can only use synthetic oil on this. I'm like, what? I mean, $90? So that's why I said, okay, let's buy this free thing, you know, this package. So anyway, so then we actually, it was a new car. Her car is even a year old. And over the past year, we've gotten two, nothing major, but little recall things. Like, oh, there's a light that might go out, or there's something else. Never got those taken care of either yet. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do the whole shooting match here. I'll make an early appointment at 9 o'clock. I'll get the oil changed. I'll bring a bunch of magazines and books. And because, of course, I don't bring a computer or a tablet, because that is too new age to me. So I bring paper magazines and paper books and newspapers. Old school even on that. But I said, hey, what's the difference? I'll be there for 2 or 3 hours. Fine. This stuff will be done. And we won't have to worry about it for a while. Good. So I say to myself, oh, I've got to get that card that proves that we have the thing, which is in my car. Okay. And it's Monday morning. Oh, I got to throw the garbage out, put it there in right by the garage where the garbage men come. Okay, so look, you know, I rarely drive my wife's car. Rarely. The only time I drive it if I need to do something with it, like this. So I'm not even used to driving her car. So I get the card, which is good, and I'm off to the races. And so here I am driving on the highway now, and I've got a 9 o'clock appointment. I leave at about 5 to 8, and now it's about 25 after 8, and I'm still a good 25 minutes away. And traffic is kind of moving slow and not different pockets, so that's why I left early. And I'm saying to myself, oh, geez, I hope, and thank God. I mean, I don't know why I do this, but my brain is kind of always firing instead of just being comatose. So I'm driving, and I'm thinking, I say to myself, well, I hope I brought the key, you know, her car key. And I said, well, this is silly. How could I be in the car if I didn't have the key, right? Well, that was a dumb question. And then I look at the dashboard.
Oh, no.
I'm not in her car. I'm in my car.
Oh, no.
I'm driving for 30 minutes in my car to get her car, get all this stuff fixed. I'm going there specifically because she's off today. I could take her car and get the oil change and these recall things done. And here I am in my car because I'm so used to being in that garage, walking in, getting in the car, and off I go. So now I'm on the highway, and I look, I felt like this. I'm like, am I the biggest idiot? I mean, this whole thing, I made the appointment a week ago. This whole thing is about getting her car. And here's the best part. So she has a desk in our bedroom that looks over the backyard and looks over the garage, right? And we have a little remote control. So often, I'm always paranoid. So I always, when I pull the car out, I always close the garage door. I always do it. And yet, at the same time, I'm thinking to myself, did I close the garage door? I'm always paranoid. And so I was almost going to turn around. I was like, did I close the garage door? Well, then I'm like, well, it doesn't matter because my wife is sitting in this desk that is going to be working all day at this desk that's overlooking our yard and our garage. So she'll see if I did leave it open, she will see that and she will close it. So who cares? So I didn't turn around to see if the garage door was open or closed. But, and I've done that many times in the past, even though I know that I closed it. I still feel paranoid enough to say, let me go back and turn around and drive past it just to make sure it's closed. It's one of those things. I've even driven past thinking that I didn't lock the back door when I leave the house, which I've always done. It's always locked but I have literally driven back 1 or 2 miles because of my own paranoia. I'm like, do I remember locking the back door? So here was even a safety valve for myself. I was going to turn back to see if I closed the garage door. And if I had turned back and driven past my house, maybe I would have seen her car in the garage and it would have said, whoa, idiot, you're taking her car in. So I didn't do that. So now I'm on the highway. So thankfully, there's some stretches on this highway that I'm on where there is not a, you know, there's not an exit for miles. Thankfully, there's one right there and I can get off. I am so mad at myself. So I call my wife. And so she's at home, obviously. So I call her. And I said, this is why I have a cell phone. Because of stupidness like this. I don't play games. I don't text. I don't do all these other things that you all take pictures with it. I call when there's an emergency. Or when I do something stupid. So obviously I use that phone quite a bit. So I the phone rings. She goes, hello? And I said, yeah. I said, Do you want to know what I am doing right now? And she's like, oh, what are you talking about? I said, guess whose car I'm driving in right now? And she's like, oh, my God. She goes, you know what? She goes, I was gonna even open the garage door to say he didn't take, like, he wouldn't have taken the wrong car, would he? I mean, he wouldn't do that. I mean, I know he gets absent-minded sometimes. But he knows why he's going to the car dealership. There's no way. She said, I was really going to open up the garage door just to make sure that you took the right car. She said, but I figured, how could he not take the right car? I don't want to even like embarrass him or even make it look like I think that he would take the wrong car, even though I would never have known this, obviously, if she opened the garage door and it was gone. The correct car was taken. So I'm like, you know what? I said, from where I'm at now, I said, I'll never make it to the dealer by 9 o'clock because I got to turn back home and drop this car. And then I have to get into the other car and I'll make my 45 minute drive back. I said, so, you know, call the car dealer and just tell him that something happened and see if I can get back in today. So thankfully, I was able to get an appointment at like 11:15. So I came home. And, oh, my God, I felt like such an idiot. And even after 26 years of marriage, and believe me, my wife and I have been through a lot of different stuff, and we've known each other since we were 16, so she knows me pretty well. But, you know, you still want to feel like, you know, you're the conqueror, you know, the man of the house. I didn't even feel like the slug of the house. I felt castrated when I walked into the house. And thankfully, she kind of laughed and she didn't, you know, I mean, if she had done that, I would have been all over. I would have just been tearing her to shreds in a fun way. But to her credit, she didn't let me have it. She's like, she just was, I mean, I was laughing too, but I was so, for a good hour and a half, I was just so mad at myself because it was so stupid. It was just, but, you know, you get in that routine. Mm-hmm. Half the time, sometimes, I don't know about you, but when you get into your car, you know, I drive a certain route to go most places. And so there's a couple of times when you go in another direction. and I will get in the car, and I will be 10 minutes. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not going to this highway. I'm going the other way. Oh, because you just get into that zone and into that routine of yours. And the car almost drives itself. You don't even remember you just make a left turn, make a right turn, and this is the way you go. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not going on that high. I mean, I've done that before. But, I mean, to get in the wrong car when the whole point, I mean, it was one thing if you say, well, you know, it didn't matter. I was going somewhere to do something else, to go do an errand. Well, who cares? This was the one time when I had to be in the correct car. If I was going to the hardware store or going to pick up some milk, who cares what car you take? But this time, it was imperative that I was in the correct car. And here's the best part. There's only two cars in the garage. I had a 50-50 chance. And yet, I picked the wrong car. And welcome back here to Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic at WGNplus.com. As we do most weeks, we go to the Pop Culture Club with Emily Arminetti. Emily, are you there?
I'm here.
Whoa, I'm blasting you. Sorry, I had you up so high. because I got an email from someone who said that they couldn't hear your voice sometimes.
You know what's so funny about that? Occasionally, when I'm in the car with my son, if a new podcast comes out and I feel that the content is okay, which I think we're pretty clean. We don't really say anything.
I've never sworn, I don't think.
I mean, no, he's only six, so, you know, I have to make sure. But, I mean, you know, like...
I did say castrated earlier, so you might not want to...
I could have to answer questions about that, but it's still... That might, yeah.
But does your voice sound low?
Well, no, I mean, he says to me, you know, Mommy, why is his voice so clear and yours is not?
Really?
And I said, well, because he's there in the studio and I'm on the phone.
Yeah, but you still should sound clear.
So.
Oh, okay. Well, plus, you know.
Yeah, Maybe we need another setup. I don't know. Maybe we need to get someone in, like, I don't know who can advise us on the tech here.
I don't know. I mean, I'm putting it up a little higher today. Plus, I mean, if you know any kind of history of like the late night talk shows, most of the late night talk shows, all the hosts have a chair that's higher than the guests. Did you know that?
Oh, okay.
David Letterman.
I didn't, but
David Letterman was always higher. Johnny Carson, his chair was always higher than the guest.
Oh,
so. In this case,
your voice will always be louder.
My voice will always be louder, just so you know who the host is.
In
case you get any weird little ideas.
Right. Well, listen, it's
too
nice
brute.
That someone other than my son, someone out there, cares.
Yes, they did. They said we like Emily, but there's some times when we can hardly hear her. Or she
okay.
just, we need to hear her better. So I will
right.
make a,
yeah.
a point. I'm making a point of that. And I have,
okay.
I'm putting you, still not as loud as me, but you're getting there.
No. Right.
So we were talking about last podcast. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you collect them. You didn't hear probably the beginning of the show. If you collect, do you collect the podcast? Do you download them and put them somewhere? Or do you just listen to them one time and forget
about
it?
Well, I mean, this might blow your mind, but I have a podcast app. And so I subscribe to a number of podcasts.
I don't even know what that means.
This one is one of them.
I don't even know what that means.
Right. Of course you don't. Of course you don't. And so when you click on the subscribe button, it, like, your phone automatically updates. And then the episodes, you know, like, save there. But you can also, you have the option, like, I'm really bad at clearing things out. So you do have the option of having it automatically delete stuff that you've already played.
Well just so you know,
yeah.
Do not delete the current one that when I talk about Mustard and we talk about Austin, Texas. Save that one. Save that one.
Is there a reason? I've already listened to it.
Yes, because as I said at the top of the show, in 30 years when there's the antique podcast roadshow and they appraise and they appraise old podcasts that people that have handed down through generations, that one will be worth something because I misidentified it by number. And I did not correct it. Last week's was not 43. Last week's was 44.
Oh.
But I said the week before that was 43. So that one is fine. But this one, as I said, like the Beatles have this butcher cover, that podcast will go down in collectors' minds as the Mustard Podcast. So if you have the Mustard Podcast.
Wait, the Mustard Podcast? No, it's going to go down as the South By Podcast.
South By, right. Yeah, I was going to mention. The Mustard / South By.
But, although I did like your little mustard story.
Oh, you did? Well, that's good. Yeah. So, so if you have that, as I've said,
keep it.
It in the cloud somewhere.
Right.
30 years from now, your son James will be living like somewhere in Montana, and antique podcast roadshow will come, and he'll walk over there and say, "Well, my mom gave these to me. She had an old tablet." And I don't know what we've been using it as a tray, and then my wife said, "You know, there might be something on there." And then they talked about this mustard thing, and I looked it up, and they said it might be worth something. And then the guy will go, "Well, you know, these tablets at one time were actual devices that
they
people...
were useful."
Yes. So Emily, if you've downloaded that one, you are a part of history. And you are part of a collector's item with the Mustard Podcast, so just make sure you have that.
Okay, I will hang on to it.
So we were talking a little bit about music last week, but we were talking about a topic, and as luck would have it, as I've always often said, we record this a few days before it's posted. We're actually recording this on Wednesday, March, 22nd, and so we were talking about, well, that's when we can do an early preview of the big concert tours for the summer. Let's talk a little music. I love music. Sweet, sweet music. Any kind of music. That's the OJs. And Emily's a big music fan, obviously, because she lives in Austin and has been.
Right.
And you've been to South By.
Well, I mean, I didn't even get, the two things I wanted to do, I didn't even get to do. So I can't really say that.
Did you go to Twin Peaks? Did you go to Twin Peaks?
No, because I couldn't go.
Oh.
I couldn't get any. I couldn't. It was at a bad time. I couldn't get anyone to watch the kids.
You with these?
And then I ended up having to take my daughter to the doctor anyway.
You with these?
Very
kids.
Last minute.
See what these kids are doing. These kids are interrupting your Twin Peaks.
I know it's very inconvenient.
That's why I never had them.
I know. I'm rethinking this whole thing.
I know. Look at that. You could have seen Kyle MacLachlan and David Lynch. Hey, Coop.
I could have had a damn fine cup of coffee.
Hey, Coop. Gordon here. So, Ronette Pulaski. We found something under her nails. So, we thought we'd talk about music, and as luck would have it, today we were going to go and we'll talk about what kind of list you made up, and I'll talk about mine. But as we got lucky, Lollapalooza announced their thing today. So talk about time. Talk about timeliness. So
perfect.
So as an Emily Arminetti, who are you looking forward to seeing? And I know that you know you are right in that little Gen X age, so you certainly are an alt rock fan as well as an 80s fan because you grew up in the 80s as a teenager, so you were probably that's the music you grew up with, and then as you became a hipster, then you got into the alt rock. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of the bands that you will mention, I will know. And other ones, I felt about 500 years old this morning when I looked at the lineup for Lollapalooza. Because I knew about, because out of 200 bands over 4 days, some ridiculous number, I knew about four.
Right.
I knew
that was going to be just
I was just like
way beyond your
well, and not only that, but not only did I not know the bands, but Boy, bands have really stupid names today. Where's the cool
there,
ones?
Like
The Who.
Ones, but...
The Who is the best. I don't care what anybody says. The Who is the best name for a band, period. The Beatles was clever. It was a takeoff on the Crickets. You know, Buddy Holly, a Beatle, a Cricket. That was clever. The Rolling Stones.
Right.
But The Who is genius.
Right.
Genius.
So you're not into, like, Run the Jewels.
Okay. I saw that.
You're not into Flint Eastwood.
Yeah, I saw Fleet Foxes. And what's the is it? I felt bad. Is it XX or the double X?
It's the XX.
It's the XX. See, I didn't want to say that, because if I said the double
totally
X's,
could have called that you did not know how to say that.
I'm like, I'm not even going to say that, because then people are going to say, "Boy, this guy is really out of his element." You know, he acts like he's Mr. Pop Culture, and he doesn't even know the double X's. And could I ask you, you know, I'm out of it from a standpoint. I don't really, I know that that music is not for me. So it's like, you know, why be invited to a party that no one wants you at? So that's the way I feel about it.
Well,
but wait,
okay,
who are the Chainsmokers?
Oh, the Chainsmokers.
Kevin, do you know who the Chainsmokers?
I do, yeah.
Kevin has a music show here on WGN as well as a podcast. So you know who the...
We had the Chainsmokers on our podcast, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I
asked those guys to pick up my car in the lot. I'm sorry. What did you say, Emily?
I just saw the Chainsmokers at a Super Bowl party in Houston. Actually, one of our former colleagues, Jim, works for EA Sports. And EA Sports had a party in Houston, and he was coming in with his wife. I actually introduced them as a couple, and they invited us to come to Houston for the EA Sports party. And the Chainsmokers, actually did. They played, and then, like, Snoop Dogg played.
So what are the Chainsmokers? Like, what kind of music do they play?
I mean, like, they're kind of like DJs. Like, I would compare. Well, see, the only thing I could compare them to, from my point of view, would be like Avicii. But I know you have no idea who that is. So maybe Kevin can explain them a little bit.
What
better.
Was Avi? What?
Avicii. they're like DJs, and they kind of like sample music and
okay,
like.
Okay, that's okay to me. I don't even want to hear that.
It's dance music. It's electronic.
Yeah, electronic.
It's
yeah. Okay. Anybody that samples. I'm not into that. Go write your own melody.
You. Yeah.
I don't like that sampling stuff. In my day.
We almost didn't survive the party.
But here's the thing. So the reason I even know the Chainsmokers is I was chatting online with somebody, and I were talking about music, and they said, yeah, probably like the Chainsmokers. And I said, you're not smoking again, are you? And they're like, no, it's a band.
Right.
I thought
you're
they were talking about Chainsmokers.
You're so out of it.
Yeah, I felt like, once again, whenever I watch the Grammys or whenever the Lollapalooza, Bonnaroo, Pitchfork, Riot Fest, when all these things come out with their lineups, I say, you know what? Where's my shawl and in my wheelchair? Because I feel 180. Yeah. But anyway, so what tours or acts are you looking forward to seeing this year?
Well, there are a few, but I have to say that I am a little bit limited because not everybody necessarily comes through Austin. So sometimes when artists are touring and they come to Texas, sometimes they come to Austin, but sometimes they'll just do like Dallas or Houston or San Antonio, and so. You know, I would travel, but it just becomes kind of a big production to do that. So, so there are a lot of people that I want to see, but I'm not going to be able to see all of them. So,
just for the record, you're talking about traveling. I just need to go on the record here.
Right.
Last week, March 16th, I was in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Oh, right.
To see Elton John concert number 168. Ding, ding, right. Ding. Thank you very much.
How was it?
Oh, it was great. I had like a fourth row seat, and then I got up to the stage. In fact, I took a picture. I put it on my Facebook page. I took a picture of my hand on the stage while Elton was playing.
And whoa.
I took one of my left hand, which has my pinky ring and my little bracelet, so you knew it was my hand. Wasn't just somebody, I wasn't just fake handing. This was my hand on the stage, with Elton in the background. Oh, by the way, there was this other guy, Elton John, in the background of the picture. But there was my hand to prove that I was up near the stage.
Right.
Anyway.
So you didn't get tackled by security this time around?
Well, no, what's great is they let like the first five rows at a certain point just rush the stage. And you have to know when.
Right.
And you have to know the song, which I do. And you have to climb
always,
over.
I'm sure.
And you have to climb over. I had to climb over three rows of chairs. But there's no stopping. And
right.
So anyway, what are you looking
for? I'm going to tell you, here's what I have lined up so far, and I'm actually going to start to sound like an old fogey too. Okay. So far I've got tickets for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
You have tickets.
Oh, I mean, I always have. Sometimes when I ask my husband to log in to like our Ticketmaster account or like Live Nation to print out something for a show, he'll call me and say like, how many shows are we going to? You know, like I almost have to, then I'm like, oh shoot, I should have printed them out myself.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I mean, now when something goes on sale and I want to go, I just go for it, because then if I don't, then I always regret it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, Tom Petty, yeah. I believe this is his 40th anniversary tour, and they sound as good as ever. They really do. That's going to be a good show.
I mean, I saw them 3 years ago at Madison Square Garden, and they were amazing.
I hate to
Tom
tell
Petty
you that
sounded amazing.
I hate to tell you that I saw them 37 years ago.
Well, maybe you should go see them. They're 20.
I've seen them several times. I saw them. One of the best shows I saw was he opened and then became the band for Bob Dylan in the 80s. And that was great.
Oh,
so they came out and they played a set as the Heartbreakers, and then they were Bob Dylan's backing band, and that was a great show. But I've seen him on several occasions. So Tom Petty, that's a good one. Ding ding on that.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Good one.
Okay, get ready. This is real old fogey now. Okay. Chicago and the Doobie Brothers.
Really? Now,
oh yeah.
Okay. Now I have to bring our friend Kevin into the mix here. Because a couple of years ago, Kevin is also producer for a show here on WGN, hosted by Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. And a couple of years ago, there was...
I know this is going already. I know this is going.
Yes, you do. So I was listening to the show, and they were talking about the nominees for that year for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that year, it was 2 years ago, Chicago was up, and the Cars were up. And Kevin says, who's Chicago?
Well, okay,
He goes. Oh, I think the Cars.
I still stand by that.
Over Chicago. I mean, believe me, I love the Cars. I'm a huge Cars fan.
Both great bands.
Great bands, and the Cars were actually hugely influential in bringing the whole new wave thing to the forefront. But Chicago, were much older than them and belonged to be and should have been in long before. And it was just so funny because Bill and Wendy are my age, and so they were giving Kevin a hard time, and I was screaming at home at the radio going, this guy doesn't even know what he's talking about. He's like, I think that because they were like saying who they would choose, and Kevin, you said the Cars over to Chicago. Uh-huh.
Well, and I said, what do they have other than 25 or 6-4?
Oh!
A few, I know, I know.
Oh, man.
I mean, is that a crazy comment?
I know.
What do they have except 25? Oh, I don't know.
They just don't do that much for me.
I don't know. Maybe they were like one of the best-selling, groups of the 70s. They had the top, I mean, they've got several records of top 10, top 5, top number one hits. I mean. So I had to give you a hard time on that, Kevin.
Okay. We could almost do, I feel like next time we could almost do an entire segment on their greatness.
Oh, my God.
Maybe one of these days we'll do that.
So
we could invite my dad to be a guest caller. My dad
loves
Notre Dame High School in Chicago with Jim Pankow. And that's like his biggest, he loves to tell people that.
Well,
and
I think that would be a good show. I don't know, though, you know, with the problem that I have with Chicago, even and the Doobie Brothers, it's a great, on paper, it's a great lineup, but you don't have Pete Cetera in Chicago.
No, but I don't really care that much about Pete Cetera. I've actually always been more on the Terry Kass side, which obviously
he's dead
be there
too.
Either.
he died before anyone.
But it's more, but I still appreciate like their hits, the music. Like I'll be, and you know what? Honestly, Chicago is not necessarily, and this is where the Peter Cetera issue came in. They weren't necessarily a vocally led band to begin with.
No, it was more of a jazz fusion, rock fusion band.
So I'm, and you know, and I have seen them in, I would say, somewhat recent years. I can't remember the last time I saw them, but I've seen them at Ravinia.
Well, and I mean, the other thing is, too, is that the Doobie Brothers don't have, you know, Michael McDonald either.
Right. Well, so, he's on tour.
Yeah, he's with Boz Skaggs.
He's on tour with Boz Skaggs. Yeah, exactly.
In fact,
they're not coming here, though.
I saw Boz Skaggs, Michael McDonald, and Donald Fagen. And that was a great show.
Oh, wow.
From Steely Dan.
Let me tell you something.
5 years ago. Yeah.
Okay. Our very first night in Austin, after we moved here, I went to see Steely Dan by myself.
Oh.
And it was amazing.
Yeah, I love
it. It was
Steely
awesome.
Dan.
I had so much fun.
My wife cannot stop me. What's so funny? I have to go see Steely Dan alone, too. Because my wife does not like Steely Dan.
Well, I was going to drag my husband there, but then he was like, I feel sort of bad ditching our kids with a babysitter the very first night we show up in this new town. And I was like, okay, good point. But
well,
it was
the next time Steely Dan comes,
if you're there alone.
Next time they come, I will either come to Austin or you come to Chicago. We'll go together because
I've gone
two times to see Steely Dan by myself. So anyway, you got Chicago and Doobies. Who else?
Okay, so Doobie Brothers. As of this morning.
Oh.
I am making plans to come to Chicago to see Mellencamp at Ravinia.
Really?
Yes, my friend texted me and said, I'm buying Mellencamp tickets. We've got, you know, 8 people, you know, on board so far. Are you in?
Let me know what day you're going to go then.
It's going to be the Saturday. I'm going to go on the Saturday because I need to fly back to Austin on the Sunday. So, yeah, that's the 26th, I think, of August. August 26th.
Well, the cool thing.
And Mellencamp. You know, I went to school at Indiana University, and Bloomington, Indiana is, of course, like where John Mellencamp for many years, like, based himself. And I actually made a hot fudge sundae for him once. But I have always been, yes, right? I have always been a huge Mellencamp fan. And I was thinking about this when I saw that he was going to be at Ravinia. I haven't seen him in, I don't know, like, Maybe I don't think I've seen him live since like Farm Aid, like around the time that I was in college. I don't know why.
Did you go to Farm Aid?
Yeah. And I don't know why.
I was
it's
at
been
the first.
Long.
Like, which Farm Aid did you go see him?
I mean, I don't remember. It was like, I think I was in college.
Oh, okay,
I think I was like 19 or 20.
Okay. Because I saw the first Farm Aid in 86 that he was at.
You know, oh, yeah. No, this was later.
Champaign.
This was later.
Yeah. I haven't seen him. I've seen him probably 3 or 4 times. I did get a chance to meet him at a concert one time backstage. I actually have his autograph. I brought my first Farm Aid program that I got from the first one, and I brought it, and he signed it, which was cool. So I have his autograph.
Oh, I'm jealous.
But I haven't been there in a long time.
Wait,
but here,
I mean, I don't have his autograph, but I did make him a hot fudge sundae.
Now, did you put the hot fudge at the bottom as well as the top so that every scoop has hot
That's
fudge
right.
as opposed, you know?
Yes.
But,
how do they get it? Yes, exactly. So,
but yeah, you know what's funny about this? I just heard him do an interview recently, and he has not played outdoors in years.
Okay.
And so he is he's looking forward to it, but he's a little apprehensive because he always feels like, you know, at outdoor shows, people are more interested in the scene than they are the music, and he's all into the music. So we'll see. And one thing, I might
he'll be great.
Yeah, I might be writing some articles for the Ravinia magazine this year, and so I have put in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I have put in a request to do a story and interview with John Mellencamp. So I might actually be interviewing him.
Oh, I hope you get it. Hey,
yeah,
invite him to come on the podcast.
That, yeah. Okay. He's talking all craggly now. I don't know what
just
happened.
Just tell him about the hot fudge sundae. Maybe he'll remember me.
Oh, that's right. Emily made me that hot fudge sundae.
Back in 1996.
So then anyone else?
So I've got a few that I'm going to buy tickets for, but I haven't yet. And then a few that regrettably I won't be able to see, but I know they're touring right now. So Kings of Leon are coming here. I haven't gotten my tickets yet, but I'm going to. I just saw that Bob Moulds is going to be here, and I think it's like a ridiculously cheap ticket. Yeah, and a really small venue. So I'm going to try to get to that.
Bob Moulds of Husker Du fame.
That's right. Yeah. And Sugar.
I used to play Husker Du on my college radio show all the time in the mid-80s.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You were,
that would make sense.
You were just a mere
heyday.
You were a mere pup.
I was, yeah. Yeah, and then, I mean, like, you know, there are a few people that I would really love to see that I know are touring, but they're just not going to be coming through here or anywhere near here. But,
who?
You know, I mean, like, well, like Bruce Hornsby, Amy Mann, all these people are actually coming through Chicago. So if I were you,
yeah,
I would
Chicago, yeah, there's quite a few. I mean, I think Hornsby's going to be at the City Winery. Which is a really great venue in on Randolph Street. Very small venues. That's going to be pretty cool. I didn't hear about Amy Mann. I love Amy Mann. I interviewed Till Tuesday back in the 80s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would say, don't quote me on this, but I want to say she's maybe going to be at the Park West, and that would be a kind of cool place to see her.
Is she still married to Is she still married to Sean Penn?
I think so.
Michael Penn?
I think so. Yeah, Michael Penn, I think she is.
What if I was Romeo in black jeans? Speaking of black jeans, Kevin has black jeans on today. With black shoes. So he's Romeo in black jeans, and I'm Heathcliff. That's no myth.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Don't you know the words to no myth?
Me? Yeah, of course.
Oh,
I
okay.
I
you sounded
that.
Like you know what I was talking about. Well, here's ones that I'm
no,
actually
I do.
Here's some ones that I'm surprised you did not mention. Now, this one, I don't...
Well, I have a very long list, but I can't take up the whole, you know, segment, so...
Okay, well, very quickly, here's one that I am seriously thinking of going. I haven't looked at the price tag yet, though. I would imagine it's going to be huge, but I said earlier, the greatest name of any rock band is The Who, and I'm a huge
right.
Who fan, and Pete Townsend especially. They are going to be playing 6 shows at Caesar's Palace, which is in the same venue where I see Elton all the time, the Coliseum. The Who in that venue has to be amazing. It's a 125-foot stage with a huge, video screen. There's only like 4,000 seats. The music, the sound in there is great. I can't believe that The Who's playing there, because if they play at their regular decibel level, they're going to blow that. The pillars of Caesar's Palace are going to, the columns are going to start crumbling.
Right.
They're going to definitely have to tone it down. But to see The Who in that venue,
you should do it.
I've seen him a million times. Thankfully, I saw him one time when Roger Daltrey's voice completely crapped out on him about midway through the show. And I always said, okay, that's the last time I'm going to see him. But apparently I think he's had some surgery. So I would love to see that. Now, I can't believe you haven't not mentioned, you don't want to see You Too do Joshua Tree?
No, you know what? I am
wow.
not a huge U2 fan.
Wow. Okay.
I mean,
Kevin's, Kevin's not. What are you?
But...
Not Kevin's nodding.
Yeah, I agree with Emily. I'm not a U2 fan. My dad would be very angry at me. But
Joshua Tree.
That's like their most tolerable. I guess I would give
tolerable.
That. But
wow!
Don't even get me started.
You know what? I'm not a. I was a huge. I mean, when I was once again in college radio, we played U2 before it was even big here. I remember seeing them at the UIC Pavilion. And they was right when Unforgettable Fire came out, even before it was being played on the radio. And I could see the way the crowd was reacting. I'm like, these guys are going to be huge. But the Joshua Tree is their most, you know, commercial album. But, man, I'll tell mm-hmm. you still haven't followed them. Those songs are still good. And I'll tell you, there's one song, my favorite song on that album. I don't know if you obviously don't like the album very much, Emily.
It's not that I don't. I'm just not. I've never been a huge YouTube fan. Most people are like super into
that.
I'm just not.
Go on the iTunes.
Oh, jeez.
And look, to me, my favorite song in there is called "Trip Through Your Wires." Great song.
Oh, I love that song. Yeah. No, I know that song. Of course.
Trip through your wires. Woo-hoo! Yeah. So anyway, let's see who else. I was surprised you did not mention Hall & Oates and Tears for Fears being...
Oh, no, you know what? They are totally on my list, and they are, regrettably, I will not be able to make it to see them because I think they're going to be in, I want to say, San Antonio, and I just really don't think I can swing it.
Now, I'm surprised, too, you did not mention Depeche Mode being an 80s
I know.
Chick.
I might actually. They are coming to Austin. Actually, are they coming to Austin? It might be San Antonio. They are coming somewhere near here. And my husband sent me an email saying, hey, should we get tickets for this?
Yeah.
And I think maybe. But I saw Depeche Mode, like I've seen them, we'll say within the last decade at Lollapalooza. I don't remember which year it was. And they were good. I was a little bitter, though, because they were playing at the same time as Kings of Leon. And at that you know, during that time, I was like, kind of would rather have seen Kings of Leon.
Oh,
but
I mean, you're
I
a major KOL fan.
Go see them.
Right? You're a major
KOL fan.
I mean, who isn't?
Yeah.
Right.
Right, but I know you're right. I might actually see Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
I have not made a decision on that.
Well, very quickly.
Are you going to go see them?
I was a Depeche Mode fan. As I said, I was lucky when I was in college radio, because at the time when I started, it was just before MTV. And so we had a wide open format at the college. And so we could play anything we wanted. And so all these British import albums like Depeche Mode and Joy Division and even, you know, things like that became huge, but, you know, like I said, U2 or Culture Club, all these were never getting played here at all. And we were getting all these import albums and playing all that stuff. So I used to play, you know, The Cure and Depeche Mode. I was playing all those bands long before they became commercially well known and even on MTV. But I don't know if I'd actually go see them in concert. I mean, because I don't know how good they are as a. I like their music, but I don't know if they're great performers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I remember them being pretty good.
Really?
But but I mean, this was probably, I want to say it was maybe like 7 or 8 years ago. I don't remember exactly.
Well, at Coachella, and that's coming up pretty soon. They've got, once again, a big festival. But Radiohead, who I know is one of your favorites.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and just played at ACL, Austin City Limits.
ACL.
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 ACL. Oh. That's right, ACL.
You are so bad.
They headlined Austin City Limits.
I blew out my ACL.
Last October.
That's why I'm on crutches. So, I blew out my ACL.
They were great.
And then Radiohead, and then Beyonce was supposed to be there,
right?
But now Lady Gaga, but Lady Gaga is going to be. Yes, I know it's Beyonce, and I know it's Lady Gaga. That's why it's funny. Bonnaroo,
yeah, so
the Chili. I was there. I mean, you know, once again, I used to play the Red Hot Chili Peppers when they first came out in the 80s. And I'm hot and cold, no pun intended, I'm hot and cold on them. I like some of their stuff, and then I don't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then at Lala, then, my gosh, you got, I wasn't all that crazy about this list. I mean, Arcade Fire, obviously, that's good. And this Chance the Rapper, enough with Chance the Rapper.
Chicago's own.
Right.
I know.
Well, look, Chance the Rapper is kind of a hometown hero, especially right now.
Although I am excited. I wouldn't go to Lollapalooza to see him just for this. But I'm a huge fan. You know who Ryan Adams is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Ryan Adams. And so I was happy to see that. But I guess Muse. Is it Muse or Muse?
Muse.
Muse. Okay. Once again, I didn't want to say it wrong, like the double X's. the extra larges.
I feel like Muse is less confusing than the XX when you look at it. It's
and then and Lord.
You're overthinking it.
Lord is coming back after her big, you know.
Lord, I saw her at Lollapalooza a few years ago, and she is really good live. And I was blown away. I mean, she got up there. She had a huge crowd, and she was playing kind of like the 4 or 5 o'clock slot at that time. And I thought to myself, I can't believe someone who's this young just like can really like, you know, command the attention of all these people. And she was great. Well worth seeing.
Well, here in the Chicago area,
I wouldn't go to this Lala just to see her.
Exactly.
And I agree with you. I'm not that impressed with this lineup, but
Pitchfork has a LCD sound system and A Tribe Called Quest. And PJ Harvey, who I like, so that's actually a pretty good lineup. And and Ravinia,
absolutely.
I mean, obviously it's a different kind of crowd. But Sheryl Crow, Stevie Nicks, One Republic, Stephen Stills, and Judy Collins. You know, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. You know the Crosby, Stills, and Nash song. That's Judy Collins. She's Judy Blue Eyes.
But she's playing with Stephen Stills, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so I have some friends who saw Crosby, Stills, and Nash, I don't know, maybe a year ago, and they said Stephen Stills was terrible.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how his voice is these days. He's a great guitar
player. Yeah.
Tony Bennett is 91, and he's going to come back to Ravinia. Darius Rucker.
He's worth seeing.
From Hootie. Oh, yeah.
Go see him.
All right. Yeah, man. Hello, Chicago. I love you. You know, Frank Sinatra loved me. Santana. I believe you didn't say Alanis Morissette. I thought All women like the Alanis Morissette.
I don't need to see her live. I'm good.
Yeah, I don't know if any guy should go there unless they want to be berated. You ought to know that. But, yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a pretty good summer. But, yeah,
let me tell you something. One thing, especially looking at the Lollapalooza lineup and really feeling like, gosh, this is just continues to feel very stale. There is an LA-based festival. Now, if I could really just, like, go to anything this summer and just, like, take off and not have to worry about, like, you know, logistics or traveling or anything, there's this festival. I think it's called the FYF Festival, and the lineup is, like, so much better. It's like, you know, Missy Elliott and Nine Inch Nails and Bjork. I mean, Bjork, like, I didn't even realize that she was still touring, but A Tribe Called Quest, Iggy Pop, Solange. Do you know who Solange is?
Is it Beyonce's sister?
It is. I am impressed that
Hey, just because I don't know the song, I read. I don't listen.
Yes.
But I read.
Right.
Solange. I thought Solange. You said Solange.
Run the Jewels. So, like, I feel like this little LA-based festival has, it's a lot smaller than Lollapalooza, but has a really great lineup. And then, did you see just this week, the creators of Coachella and Desert
Yes.
announced a new festival?
So now, did they announce that officially? Is that official?
I read that the dates are June 24th and 25th.
So is that the thing with the Eagles?
And I thought,
the Eagles and Fleetwood, and what?
No.
What?
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Oh, really? Okay, no.
Mumford and Sons.
Oh, I didn't hear
Alabama
that.
Shakes, The Shins, Weezer, another one. I just missed Weezer here.
Uh-huh. I didn't hear this one. Because I've been hearing a rumor that to combat the desert trip, that the Eagles and Fleetwood Mac were going to do shows on the West Coast and the East Coast.
Well, they're not on this lineup. I mean, not the one that I read anyway.
Maybe it's a different one then. So
unless they haven't released the full lineup yet, but I would think, I don't know if it's 2 days and they've got Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and Mumford and Sons, who both are, I mean, they're both like headline acts.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And Roger Waters is
going to
be doing some Pink Floyd stuff. I think even Billy Joel is going to do all the ballparks again, and Bruno Mars.
I assume you're going to go see Billy Joel.
I've seen him enough times. I like Billy Joel, but I've seen him enough times.
Do you think there will ever be a day when you will say the same thing about Elton John?
No.
No. I've seen him.
If I haven't said that after 168 shows, then when am I going to say it?
You're not right. The day that you'll be like, show number 817.
Oh, man.
I'm finally hanging up my hat.
Well, I'm impressed that you already have tickets in hand. Very cool. You are.
I always do. Yeah. I'm on it. Yeah.
Very good. Well, Emily Armanetti.
You need to get on it.
I know. I do. I will. I will. I'll get them somewhere, but because I can't sit way in the back. I got to sit in the front, or I can't go. Okay.
Oh boy.
I'm very jaded. I got to tell you, I'm very jaded, very jaded. But Emily Armanetti, thank you once again for an exciting and fun pop culture club segment, and I had your levels up. So hopefully, people will hear you today.
All right.
Well, go have fun because don't forget, the waiting is the hardest part.
Right.
Take it easy. Okay. And this is Elton Jim Toronto with Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode of this podcast. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. I had a great time today. Hope you did too. Once again, every Monday, come to WGNplus.com and find a new episode of Captain Podtastic from the end of the web to your screen.